trust God. Good morning. Good morning. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to be here today and share with you. It's a blessing to see so many familiar faces. It's also a blessing to see so many unfamiliar faces, because God continues to bless the church, and it is just an honor to be able to be here and stand at this pulpit again today and share God's word with you. Jonathan did a great job of introducing me. He didn't tell you all the wonderful things I asked him to say, but he probably thought they were obvious. So. But I'd like to introduce my girlfriend. We've been going together now for about 50 years, married for almost 47 of them. And so this is my wife, Linda, for those of you who haven't met her. We are blessed with three wonderful children, and the oldest of whom, Deanna, we will be picking up at the Baltimore Airport on Tuesday as she flies in from Thailand, where she lives and serves the Lord there. And so we're looking forward to seeing her. Have four wonderful grandchildren. Our son Jeremy and his wife have four children. And we are spending the summer in Rochester with our youngest daughter, Beth. But our oldest grandson, we have a picture of him. He and his brother were on a missions trip to Mexico about a week or so ago, and we got a picture that showed him preaching there in Mexico. Said he was 16 years old and never preached before, but if God could change the hearts of 3,000 people at Pentecost, then he could certainly use him to share the word there. And so I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of what he shared. But God has just been gracious and good to us. And part of his blessing, of course, was allowing us to be here and serve with you for those 7 years that we were here. And we live now in Florida, and it's great to be in Florida, even this time of year, because now we have the privilege of looking forward to winter. How many of you look forward to winter? I used to tell people that my favorite season of the year would have been fall, but I just couldn't get past knowing what came next. You know, you ever find yourself having trouble enjoying the moment because you know what's coming next? I had that problem. But now I just look forward to winter. And we do come up and escape to New York for a couple of months in the summer, so it's been a blessing. I'd like to share with you this morning from God's Word. And again, I appreciate Pastor Dan allowing me this opportunity, inviting me to come and share with you today while he is away. And I was just telling Raquel, it makes me think of our oldest daughter, went to school in Springfield, Missouri. And it's kind of a shock to the system when your first one doesn't come home every night, you know. And so I was sharing with her that we said goodbye to Deanna on Labor Day weekend and wished her a happy Thanksgiving because we weren't going to get a chance to see her again until Christmas time. And then I wept like a baby. And I realized afterwards a little bit what death is like for Christians. We know we're going to see them again, but the separation is painful. And so we're just being prepared by God to say goodbye for a couple of years at a time. But thank God for modern technology. Amen. I think of some of those that sent their children or allowed their children to follow God's call and go to the mission field and didn't know if they would ever see them again. Maybe write a letter that could be 6 months in arrival or whatever. We just push a few buttons and there her face is, and we get to talk to her as if we were across the room or whatever. That's pretty marvelous. And so we thank God for that. You can turn in your Bibles this morning to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we're going to look at our great intercessor this morning. Everybody knows what intercession is. Have you ever asked someone to pray for you? I basically what you're doing is asking them in prayer to intercede on your behalf. I had someone this morning at the first service come, and as she was greeting me, she said, oh, please pray for someone that's dear to her. Shared a little bit what the need was. And so it's normal for us to appreciate when other people will speak on our behalf. And especially when they speak to the Lord on our behalf. But I have the opportunity to bring to you the good message this morning, the encouraging message, I trust, that we have an intercessor in heaven who prays for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Of course, speaking of Jesus, Jesus is in heaven this morning, interceding on my behalf, interceding on your behalf. And we're going to get a chance to look at his intercessory prayer in John chapter 17, where he prays for his disciples, and not only for them, but for all who come to believe because of their witness and testimony. That includes me. That means Jesus prayed for me, and he always lives to intercede on my behalf. Thank God we've got help in heaven. Now, as I shared, we live in Florida now, Central Florida, Gulf of Mexico, and the beautiful beaches of the Gulf, an hour to the west, an hour and a half to the east is the Atlantic Ocean. We're just 45 minutes or whatever from Busch Gardens, and an hour from the wonderful world of Disney, and life is great. You know, there's a lot there to enjoy. I've had the opportunity to travel the world and been to a number of countries and just seen the grandeur of God's creation, and it's good to be able to enjoy the life that God has given us. But how many of you know that sometimes life seems more like a battleground than a playground? Have you ever noticed that? Life is great, and life is good, but sometimes it's difficult. It's tough. I have known people that have come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because they thought if they did that, all the problems would be solved. They'd never have a problem in the world again because Jesus would just take care of everything. He'd take care of their relationships, take care of their finances, take care of their health. Everything would just be glorious. And there have actually been some people that have told them that's what would happen. Well, I don't know what your experience has been like, but my experience has been that the main promise I get to claim from God's word is, in the world you will have tribulation. It is just the reality of life. But we have someone in heaven interceding for us, praying for us. And I want to share that prayer with you this morning, and what it reveals to us that Jesus considers our greatest needs, and what he intercedes and prays for us in this great prayer in John chapter 17. Look at it with me. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me before the foundation of the world. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, we do thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you for Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Teacher, our Friend. I ask now, Father, for your anointing, not only to be on me as I share your word, but to be on the hearts of everyone here, that we would be encouraged and equipped by your word for every good work, that you'd be honored and blessed and glorified and high and lifted up in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ryan, could you hand me my water, please? I forgot to bring it up with me. My mouth, it's very dry. So, thank you, bud. Have you ever asked, or had anybody ask you to pray for them? And what they asked, you really weren't sure you could pray for them because you weren't sure it was the best thing for them? You know, we think of children sometimes, you'll ask for things that wouldn't be good for them, but I've had adults ask me to pray for them for something that I thought, I'm not sure that would be God's will. One of the examples that comes to mind is I've had people that were facing a court date. You know, they're facing some trouble. And they would say, a pastor would pray for me that that they'll just let me go. And I say, well, I'll pray that the truth comes out and that justice is served. Because, you know, sometimes you can't just pray for them whatever they would like you to pray. And so I think when we see what Jesus prayed for us, it may not be the things we would ask Jesus to pray always. But Jesus knows our need, and he knows the Father better than we may know ourselves. So what do we learn from looking at what Jesus prayed? There are 4 points that I would like to bring this morning. They're there in your handouts. But the 4 points are, Jesus prays, protect them, sanctify them, unite them, and bring them. Let's spend just a little time on each of those. I'm going to spend most of my time on the first one because that's, I believe, the foundation of what we need to understand about God's plan and purpose for our lives. Because so many end up becoming frustrated and discouraged in their Christian walk because they miss the point. So what does Jesus pray for us when he says protect us? First of all, he says protect them from the evil one. And then he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Let's look at that. He prays, protect them from the evil one. You see, Jesus believes in the devil. Believe me. He's known him since he was created. He's well aware of the enemy of our souls. I have heard that there are a lot of people who believe in God and believe in heaven, but they don't believe in the devil and they don't believe in hell. Now, where do we learn about God? Where do we learn about heaven? Through God's word. The same place we learned about the devil and hell. And yet, a lot of people are willing to accept the fact that there's a God, and there's a heaven, but they reject the fact that there's an actual devil or there's an actual hell. Why is that? Because God and heaven are good news. The devil and hell are bad news. And some people want to live in a state of denial. Oh, I'll take the good news, but no, I don't want to believe that bad news. Well, just because they don't believe it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Jesus believed in the devil. And if we go through life as Christians not believing that there is an actual enemy of our souls, then he will be successful in his plans. The enemy of our souls wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us. He wants to discourage us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. The enemy of our soul is real. And if we don't recognize that, we'll be fighting in the dark. Life can be wonderful, but we all have experienced the difficulty of life. It's like, especially as Christians, sometimes it seems like the world is amassed again, trying to thwart us when we try to do what's right. When we try to serve God, when we try to make an influence in the world for good and for godliness and good news and hope, it seems like the world just comes against us. And there's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. There's an enemy of our souls that is trying to defeat the church and the people of God. He doesn't want us to succeed in what God has called us to do and to be. But Jesus said, I don't pray you take them out of the world. But he does say they're not of the world. If we don't recognize this, if we don't understand that as Christians, that we are not of this world, but we are in it, then we can end up becoming very disappointed with God. Because we can be asking God to accomplish things that are not God's plan and God's purpose. But Jesus prays, protect them. They're not of this world. So he knew that there was going to be an enemy. He knew that he was going to work against us. And so he intercedes on our behalf. Help them, Father. They're not of this world. A lot of people love to claim the promises of God, but not many like to claim on a regular basis this one, in the world you will have tribulation. But it's true, in the world we will have tribulation. But he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He is interceding on our behalf. We want to be better than we are. We want to be more than we are. We want to do better than we do. But it's not easy. Why? Because there's an enemy. There's one fighting against us, but we have one interceding for us. Thank God. Jesus knows him better than we do. He knows his devices, he knows his purpose, he knows his plan, and Jesus is interceding on our behalf so that we would not be defeated by the enemy. Now, I also realize that there are some, when they see Jesus praying, protect them, they think that means that if God answers Jesus' prayer, which he will, and he does, it means that we'll never get hurt. Well, how many of you since you became a Christian have been hurt? You've hurt, been hurt by others' words, you've been hurt by physically, you've been hurt. And does God then fail us if we get hurt? I don't believe so. I love the scripture that says in the Psalms that all of our days were written in a book before there was one of them. And I believe that I can agree with Jesus' prayer to protect me in believing that the enemy would not be able to steal one page out of my book. Now, I have no idea how long my book is. You don't know how long others' books are. I don't know how long my children or grandchildren's book is. But I am believing God that prayer will be heard and answered, and that we will be protected from the devices of the enemy to steal pages out of our book, to thwart us from accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish, and that we can be all that God has called us to be and serve him for our entire lives. Doesn't mean we won't encounter trouble. It doesn't mean we won't be hurt. It doesn't mean we won't die. When Jesus prayed this prayer, shortly before his betrayal and his death, he's talking to 11 men, his disciples, that are going to suffer martyrdom. Only John survives, but he survives as a prisoner. So Jesus wasn't saying, Father, protect them from death. He's saying protect them from the devices of the enemy. And God answers Jesus' prayer. We can rely on that. We can count on that. We don't always agree with God's plan and purpose. We don't always understand it. But I believe we can trust in God's perfect will when we agree with Jesus in his prayer. Lord, protect me from the evil one, for I am not of this world. even as you were not of this world. There is something greater, something that you want me to accomplish. Secondly, he says, sanctify them. Now, what does that word mean, sanctify? Some people think it means wash them, clean them up, but it's more than that. What the word sanctify means is set apart. The articles in the tabernacle were sanctified, set apart for service to God and to worship for him. And so Jesus is praying, Father, set them apart. Let them be not profane, but holy. And what does the word holy mean? We use it all the time. We hear it all the time. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. But what does holy mean? Does it mean to be pious? Does it mean to be better than other people? Does it mean never to say the bad words? Does it mean never to do this or never to do that and always to do this? And what does holy simply means other than? God is holy because he's other than everything he's created. We try to define God, we try to explain God, we try to talk about God, but he's other than any words we can use because we have no experience in this world and in creation that fully explains God because he's holy. He's other than. And so we're called to be holy as he is holy. We're to be other than. Other than what? Other than those who are not believers. We should be other than. We're called to be holy because God is holy. We're not to just join in cultural speak. We're not to just follow along with modern thinking. We are other than. So Jesus says, sanctify them. And sanctify them how? By your word. Sanctify them by your word. Now, what is his, oh, I'm sorry, his first says, what, by truth. And of course, we know that there are many today that don't believe there is any specific truth. You make up your own. Whatever's true for you is fine. Whatever's true, you know. Thank God architects don't buy into that. You know, we'd never be able to build a building that could stand if everybody decided they'd make up their own. You know, 2 + 2 = 3 for you, but it equals 5 for me. And so they're trying to build this thing. And no, there's truth. And our generation is not the first one to question truth. 2,000 years ago, Pilate met with Jesus, and Pilate said, what is truth? But the Bible tells us that Jesus is truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he goes on here to say, your word is truth. But what is his word? Well, the Bible again tells us in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus points to himself when he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them through their faith and belief in me. Now, thank God for his holy scriptures. I believe they are the word of God. But I also believe that there are people who can read it and study it and recite it, but don't know the truth. They don't know the word. And so they can twist it and use it to their own benefit. They can commit horrible acts. They can act shamefully and somehow find words in there to justify their actions. But we only are able to use the scriptures correctly, to interpret them correctly, if we begin with the truth and the word. And that sanctifies us, it sets us apart. Because you see, most of the world doesn't believe the word or the truth. It makes us different. It makes us subject to mockery. It makes us subject to rejection. And Jesus knows that. And he knows it's part of the device of the enemy to try to distract us and deceive us and destroy us and devour us. And so he says, protect them and sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And we are set apart for a purpose. I have sent them into the world. They're not of the world, but I've sent them into the world, even as the Father sent me into the world. I am not of this world, I'm of another world, but the Father sent me into this world. And Jesus was very aware of what his purpose was. He was there to share God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, our great enemy is death. And the world fears death. They do everything they can to escape it, to prolong it, because death holds fear. But Jesus came that we would escape the fear of death. Because when Jesus came, he wanted to share a message with us that we don't have to fear death because we're not of this world. So death for us is just an invitation to come into our real world. I have sent them into the world, and for them I sanctify myself. We are people of the Word, informed by the Word, on a mission for God, and Jesus is our example. He sanctified himself by setting himself apart to accomplish the will and purpose of God when it meant death on a cruel cross, because he believed that God's purpose also was that he would rise from the grave, and that we would all be changed because of it. Now, I don't know what you're living for, but the most important thing is, what are we dying for? I'm dying for the glory of God, for the love of God, for the people of God, for this world. He goes on to pray, unite them. Unite them to let the world know that you sent me. The world is looking for a savior today. Believe it. They're looking for a leader or a philosophy or a new scientific discovery, something to rescue them from the problems of this life. They're looking for a savior. Jesus says, I want, Father, my disciples to be united in faith and purpose so that the world would know that you sent me to be their savior. The world's looking for a savior, and that's what the purpose of the church is primarily. It's not to make sure that we prosper. It's not to make sure that we have good marriages, though God wants us to prosper. God certainly wants us to have good marriages. It's not so that we wouldn't get sick. The reason that we're here is we're on a mission to let the world know that God sent his son Jesus, that the world would be saved, they'd be rescued. They would no longer have to live in fear of death, but could look forward to a glorious new life. That's our purpose. That's our faith. That unites us. Nothing else unites us. Not our color, not our gender, not our politics. Nothing else unites us but our faith and our purpose. Not our faith alone, but our faith with purpose. Not our purpose alone, but our purpose with faith. Joined together, we're on a mission, and nothing else matters as much as our joint faith and mission. To let the world know that the Father has sent his Son and that God loves them. That's why we're here. That's why we work together. That's why we overlook the insignificant differences. That's why we accept one another, even when we don't understand each other. Because God wants us united and faith and purpose, because he wants to let the world know. Finally, and I love this part, he ends his prayer with this: bring them to me. Father, I want them to be where I am. John 14, 1 through 3, and I've shared this at so many funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would tell you. I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus' great prayer is that when our mission is finished, when the last page of our life is turned and it reads the end, and we don't know when that page turns, we don't know how long our book is, but that when that last page is turned, that we have been protected from the enemy, so that we have been sanctified and set apart, we have been united in faith and purpose, and then Jesus says, oh, Father, bring them home. They're not of this world. They're of another world. Father, bring them home. I want them to be where I am, that they might behold my glory, the glory I had with you, Father, before the world began. I want them to experience that in all of his majesty, that they would share in the wonder of the world that they are really part of, the world of heaven in God's presence. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. Oh, that will be glory for me. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be of good courage. He's overcome the world. We are not of this world. We're in it, but Jesus is praying for us. The enemy wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us. He wants to discourage us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us, but Jesus is on our side. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Lord is on my side, whom shall I fear? What can mortal man do to me? Thank you, Jesus, for your prayer for us. We are more than overcomers. In Jesus' name, amen.